Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Junkyard Dogcast, everybody. I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. They're Kip Adams and Rusty Mansell, also of Dogs 24/7. And all right, guys, we've rested up from the bye week, kind of got a chance to kind of fold our fingers behind our head a little bit and catch our breath. And now it's a six-game gauntlet from here to the rest of the season. Georgia's got six SEC games in 6 weeks. They're hoping it'll be 7 and 8 weeks after the SEC championship game or once you include that. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about what Georgia's got to do to run the table the rest of the way to get back to the SEC championship game, to put themselves in a play-in game, which, I mean, almost certainly will be against Alabama, a rematch of what we saw the last time Georgia was out. And we got some recruiting talk in the second half of the show. Georgia got a commitment from Kamari Lassiter out of Tuscaloosa, American Christian, top cornerback target for the Bulldogs, a big get. And Rusty saw a Georgia commit this past week, and we're also going to talk about how the rest of the 2020 year could be massive for Georgia on the recruiting trail because some decisions are coming up. But, guys, let's go ahead and jump into this real quick. And before I do, I want to kind of recap some of the stuff that happened in the SEC this past week. Missouri gets an impressive win against Kentucky in Columbia, Missouri, 20-10. That's Georgia's next opponent, Kentucky. A lot of defense, no offense right now. That's looking like a really tough match. Georgia's looking like a really tough matchup for the Wildcats in terms of being able to score and do some of those things. Alabama beats the fool out of Tennessee. I think we kind of all saw that coming, but I didn't really in the early going. I mean, Tennessee got away with a little bit of a targeting penalty there, and then obviously you just – sick to your stomach for any college football player, but Jalen Waddle gets hurt on the opening kickoff. Not sure how that's going to impact Alabama going forward. You almost know it's definitely not going to help them. And, you know, he's one of the best players in college football. We went round and round talking about him before the Georgia-Alabama game. But Rusty, all of that considered, next game, next two games, obviously, because Florida's coming up in 2 weeks. What's got to happen for Georgia to get back to an Alabama rematch and to have a kind of a play-in opportunity, I guess, in Mercedes-Benz Stadium come December 19th?
They got to do what a lot of teams have got to do. And it's not coach speak. It's coach speak. It's you got to get better. You know, I think we talked about a little bit. It's pretty good having that Alabama game a little bit early. You know where you are. You know what to work on. I think people – you know, saw that game and go, there's, you know, this is the ceiling. It's not the ceiling for Georgia. That wasn't the ceiling for Georgia. They can get better in a lot of areas. Now, I was pretty frank in the fact that when you had Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle for Alabama, I wasn't sure how Georgia could defend that for an entire game. But this injury, and it's a bad deal for this young man. I hope he is able to, you know, get where he needs to be in the NFL. And, you know, if that's the next step he takes, which I would anticipate that's the next step he takes for next year with him, you know, just crazy. You know, to me, it was almost a flashback of Nick Chubb, first play of the game, Knoxville, you get hurt. It's just a bad, bad deal, man, for that kid. But, you know, this football, people get hurt in reality. So you go look at the Georgia-Alabama matchup, which is a little different in my opinion, long way to go now. But if you're Georgia, and we're specifically talking about Georgia, you know, really thought about some things over the weekend and spoke with some people that I really trust with this. And, you know, the team is starting to come together a little bit, especially the offensive line. You know, I don't think we really talked enough about that coming off the Alabama game. And, you know, really from the second half on, Tennessee, they really played better. I think Warren McClendon's been really, really good at right tackle. Even though he's a little undersized, I think he's played really well there. The interior guys have played well. I just think you've got to worry about Georgia because Jake Kip, correct me if I'm wrong, but Georgia's going to be a favorite in every game the rest of the season, including Florida, on their schedule until they get back to Mercedes-Benz if they handle, you know, business to get there. So I think you worry about Georgia. You take this time to play these games week by week, find out who you are. Todd Monken still learning this roster. He didn't get a spring practice, didn't get a summer practice, didn't basically get too much there. So you worry about yourself right here because the old saying, other than one game, and I don't think Georgia's going to face anything like that until they play them again, if they do, is defense travels. And it's going to go to Lexington this weekend, and I fully anticipate them giving Kentucky a hard time. I don't think it's a great matchup at all for Kentucky. I know Kentucky's a lot better on defense, and it kind of gave that game away a little bit. Yeah, weird, weird game. I don't know if you saw this or not, Jake. Missouri ran 92 offensive plays. Kentucky ran 36. Missouri had a 20-play drive. They didn't get any points on. That game was crazy deal looking at it. I think Missouri had the ball 43 minutes to Kentucky's 15, which is insane for a college football game. So, you know, I don't anticipate Georgia having a problem there. Obviously, this Florida game is not a gimme at all. You know, and South Carolina's shown they can bite you, and they did last year. So, there's still some games left. I think if you're Georgia, you're worrying about this team, and it's not just a quarterback position. You worry about some other spots. You know, is Kendall Milton going to get in there? We're going to find ways to get George Pickens more touches. You know, is Arian Smith going to show up at some point this year? Because, you know, he's the guy they may be missing. He's the fastest wide receiver on the team. So, you know, there's going to be some questions answered here in the next 6 weeks for Georgia.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think fans are kind of tired of hearing got to get better, all that stuff after Georgia drops a regular season game. I can understand that. But at the end of the day, folks, it's every team – I mean, most teams have to say that. LSU didn't have to say it last year, and Clemson hasn't had to say it, you know, I think in the year before that. And, you know, there's one or two teams every single year that may not have to say that, at most one or two teams. Most teams do have to say that after a loss. And that's just an important fact to note. And I also think there's a little bit of angst when you hear that statement for another reason. I'll get to it when it's my turn to talk about this. But, Kip, want to go to you now. What's next for Georgia? What has to happen? Final six games, run the table, play-in game, all that stuff.
I think the first thing that has to happen for Georgia is they kind of figure out if the second half against Alabama was a fluke or not. I think – you know, everyone's just going to look at that game and go, there's no way Georgia, you know, will have any different of an outcome if they play again. But, I mean, I just remember that 2017 game against Auburn where Auburn just routed them. You know, it was like 40-17. And those two teams met again in the SEC championship game. And, I mean, again, it was 28-7. I mean, Kirby Smart and his staff were given the film. They went back and made adjustments and made sure they were prepared for the next time those two teams played. And I mean, Georgia should expect to run the table, and they can. As it stands, this team right now can win every game the rest of the regular season. And I think we are at that point where fans are looking at it and looking ahead, knowing that they still have to win all these games, but they're looking at that SEC championship game and already marking that as a loss. And I mean, I agree with Rusty in that the fact that this game was early, you know, this game against Alabama is good for Georgia because it gives them great film to go and evaluate and to look and see what changes might need to be made. And maybe there are changes that don't need to be made. And I think that is what we're going to, you know, the next two games is going to kind of help them figure out because, again, like I said, that rematch against Auburn, Georgia looked like a completely different team. And it's not like they're able to make roster adjustments between those games. I mean, it comes down to going back seeing what worked, seeing what didn't work. And I mean, again, the first half against Alabama, you got quarterback play that can win you the football game. I mean, Stetson was 12 for 25, 177 yards, two touchdowns and a pick. I mean, that's – you can win with that at quarterback. And so it's the second half of that game where they have to go back and look and see if that was a fluke or not. Was that Stetson Bennett, you know, the scouting report catching up to him? Or is, you know, that the potential for a learning moment for him and for improved play out of the offense? I think, you know, again, offensively, I think that what Todd Monken's done so far as Georgia, as far as whether or not they're predictable, I think there's been improvement there. I think overall offensively, there's been, you know, there have been gains made. And again, it's, you do have a strong running game. You have a running game that opposing defenses have to respect. You have the ability to utilize that. It really is about, you know, finding that perfect mix. And I think Georgia's still looking for that. And I mean, there was a difference offensively, but you have to realize that, I mean, the best receivers in this league usually are juniors and seniors. I mean, it's usually not underclassmen. And I think Georgia's offense has a much brighter future under Todd Monken and with this receiving core than what we've seen so far. It's just about getting these guys more experience. I mean, that's the one thing that if you look at Florida, you look at Kyle Pitts, and you look at Alabama and what they had at the receiver position. I mean, experience helps at that position. I think that's all the analytics guys will tell you, that returning production at wide receiver, it is crucial to an offense. And I mean, Dominic Blaylock being hurt and a young group, it's, you're going to have some bumps along the road, and you had that in Tuscaloosa. But I think that this team as constructed can, you know, definitely win all of its games. And I don't think we know for sure yet if they can't get it done at quarterback with Stetson Bennett there in a rematch against Alabama. I don't think that answer has been given yet. And I think that's really what we got to look forward to in the next two games is, you know, now that you guys have had the bye week, it's get right week for Georgia. And I actually like what Kentucky's defense brings to the table. I mean, they are, you know, they're not allowing a lot of points per game. I think it's been like a 9-point average in the last three games. And I think that it provides you a great test for whether or not Georgia's offense can bounce back and really can Stetson Bennett be the guy to lead them to wins, crucial wins, the next two games. But I mean, there's no margin for error whatsoever now. It's every win is a play-in game. And I think that's a good thing for Georgia because I mean, there's no reason for them to lose focus now. You have that out of the way. And now every single, all Kirby has to tell these guys is, you know, win or win and lose or, you know, we're in trouble. And so, I mean, you have a chance to see the best possible Georgia football the rest of the year. It's just, you know, we are all waiting to see, you know, if any changes are made. I don't see it. And I think that they have what it takes to get back to the SEC championship game. And obviously the question is, will they be more efficient at quarterback and more productive at quarterback? And I think, I mean, we're just all waiting to see how that goes for them.
Yeah. You know, I have to look at this from a couple different angles and, you know, Rusty, obviously both of you guys 100% correct. And I think it starts with the quarterback position and I'm as pro player as it gets, but I still have my doubts as to whether Stetson Bennett can beat Alabama. Actually, Stetson Bennett probably not going to put Georgia on his shoulders and beat Alabama. Period. All right. I don't think Jake Fromm could do it. I don't think there are very many quarterbacks, period, who can do it. But I do believe that Georgia has the football team to put around Stetson Bennett, to put around JT Daniels if he ends up being the guy. And right now, as we reported on Friday, JT Daniels is not ready to take that starting position away from Stetson Bennett. I believe the staff is still high on him as a prospect. I believe they still believe in him and his ability. They went out and got the guy for a reason. and it's because they're high on his ability. I just don't think, injury included, mental aspect, physical aspect, all of that stuff, he's ready yet. Okay, so let's just get that out of the way. But I think Georgia has the team around Stetson Bennett to run the table in the SEC this year. I think the defense is a huge tool when you look at the rest of the teams on the schedule, because when you look at Kentucky, when you look at Missouri, South Carolina, Mississippi State, and Vandy, those are all games Georgia's defense should, if it plays well, should suffocate. All right, that's just all there is to it. And then you got Florida, who, you know, might give Georgia's defense a little trouble. But at the same time, Florida's defense, I mean, they've been off for 2 weeks. It hadn't been like they've had two extra bye weeks either. They've been out of commission for 2 weeks. That's an issue. That's the place where Georgia, you know, has been really good the past 3 years, and I think has a very good chance to continue. Georgia's going to be favored going into that game, I'm pretty sure. So, you know, that's the game you really have circled. And it's definitely not a slam dunk guarantee, anything like that. Florida can absolutely beat Georgia, but Georgia goes in, plays well, plays its A game. I think Georgia can handle Florida. So then you talk about getting to that play-in game. And here's an issue I feel like I'd really want to meet head on here. The best way to win a national title is to have an elite quarterback and an elite offense. It's not the only way. I know I've read it a million times now, and I just don't think it's the only way. I don't, because if you go up against a defense that's executing well and forces you to 3 points in the red zone, or gets you off the field on third down and makes you go 25-30% on third down, then you're going to have some issues offensively if you're an elite offense with a defense like that. You know, Oklahoma played elite offense a few years ago. Came into Georgia, put together a great half. Georgia adjusted, kind of got it to slow down a little bit with a Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback and first-rounders everywhere. You look at last year's SEC championship game, if Georgia's offense has a pulse in that game, then the defense's morale, the momentum probably picks up, and Georgia's able to stay in that game. I believe if Georgia holds Alabama or any other team down the road to 35, 37 points, I think it's a game that Georgia can win. Georgia's just got to play well. And I know that's really simple, but if Georgia improves as a football team, develops position by position, and gets incrementally better, as Kirby Smart always talks about doing, and if Georgia does what it needs to do and plays great football in the biggest moments, then Georgia's going to be fine, and it's going to give itself a chance to win. And I know there are a lot of people writing this season off right now because Stetson can't do this, and you got to have JT Daniels to do that. And listen, I think JT Daniels, a healthy 100% JT Daniels, might raise the ceiling of this football team. I think a 100% clicking JT Daniels might be tough to keep off the field. He's going to be tough to keep off the field for Stetson Bennett, Dwan Mathis, anybody. But I still think that the team around Stetson Bennett didn't play all that great against Alabama. There's this focus on putting it on one guy. It was last year, same thing. You know, with Jake Fromm, he's putting it on one guy. You've got to play good football around him. And I, you know, I don't even know that I've ever seen Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields or you name it, Mac Jones or anybody, just carry a football team when everybody around them isn't playing very well. All right. And that's kind of the way I look at it. And that's the reason they play the game. I mean, we've seen upsets. We've seen crazy things happen. I don't necessarily think it would be a crazy thing to happen if Georgia was able to get Alabama in a rematch. But, you know, ultimately to get to that rematch, I think Georgia just kind of has to keep plugging along. It has to kind of keep its head in it, take it one game at a time. That's as cliche as it gets, I understand. But I tend to agree with Rusty that there are pieces of this team that are coming together. The offensive line is one of them. You know, I think that's an area where Georgia has gotten so much better from game one that, you know, I know folks are going to talk about the sunshine thing. Rusty, Kip, you guys can already read it on the board right now. These guys are pumping sunshine. I don't know, man. Georgia's got a really talented football roster. Okay, and they've got a really talented defense. They've got a lot of talented pieces on offense, a lot of young talented pieces on offense. And I just don't think it's that crazy, Rusty, to suggest that this team's playing at a much higher level come December, that just about anything can happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think people And listen, people are very passionate and about this, these two teams and this loss. And, you know, it's okay to have the reaction the fan base did last week and have the questions, because it is legit concerns. I think we, and Jake in particular, you met these things head on about Stetson Bennett. But I don't think people have quite backed off a little bit and thought, hey, Georgia can get better. Now, I took some hits because I said, I don't think Georgia can beat Alabama in a rematch. And I didn't. Now, Alabama is missing one of their top three or four players. And he's a playmaker. And he was a problem for Georgia. And he caused Georgia all kind of issues. Now, Alabama's not a one-man team by any means. But an Alabama fan will tell you this changes things. That injury to Jalen Waddle makes them a little bit of a different team. So you go back in, evaluate things, and see. But we've said this, and I've said this every week. We continue to learn about Stetson Bennett every week. He passed every test he had up until last week, or until that last game. So we will see where he is after the Kentucky game, because he's going to play, like Kip said, he's going to play a really, really good defense. Man, they're long. I talked to an SEC coach this summer, an assistant coach, and Kentucky got brought up, and this coach was not from Georgia, but this coach brought up the fact that, man, Kentucky will go out and get a 6'2 corner, and if he runs a 4.65, that's okay. They're going to make up for it in length. If you look at their DBs, man, they're long and huge guys. Got some D linemen and stuff. So defensively, we'll see where Georgia is, because I don't think Kentucky can score. I don't think they're going to be able to. I look at this like Auburn. I can't see Kentucky consistently putting drives together. They may bust one. They may run a punt back. They may pick up a fumble and score. But I can't see Kentucky driving down the field against this Georgia defense and putting up points. Now, on the flip side of that, Georgia's offense is going to get tested this weekend because of their defense, so it'll be another good test to see where we are, see what kind of corrections were made, and see if there's any new wrinkles going in to this Florida game.
Yep, well said. And it just all hinges on improvement, folks. That's all. And, you know, that's all you really can do, too. I mean, I know as a fan you want to, like, sit there and talk about what could be on offense and what should be on offense and all that, but at the end of the day, Georgia's got a really good football team, and it's one that if it continues to get better and if they're able to improve, especially at the quarterback position, I'm not sitting here trying to tell you that Stetson Bennett is going to, you know, make a Heisman run in the last 6 weeks of the season. But I do think Georgia as a football team can be better. I think Stetson Bennett is a quarterback, and I've heard from Georgia circles that they truly believe Stetson Bennett is capable of improving, and improving quite a bit. It's not a situation where he's maxed himself out, and they know what he is, what he is. I truly believe that they believe that he's capable of more, he's capable of better. He's shown that to them, and it's a matter of whether or not they can get him to translate it to the field. Let's take a break real quick. On the other side, I'm going to jump into some recruiting and talk about Georgia's commitment and a little more about what might be coming on the recruiting trail.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, Kip, going to go to you first. Kamari Lassiter. Georgia had to have defensive backs in this class. They've now got four whenever you David Daniel. They've got Javon Bullard and the Nugget Warren, the JUCO number one JUCO cornerback in the country. They added Kamari Lassiter to it. What is Georgia getting there?
Well, they're getting more versatility and length. I think you look at Kamari Lassiter and he does a little bit of everything for American Christian in Tuscaloosa. I mean, outstanding receiver, really. Helps him in all three phases of the game and attacks the football. And so you look at 6 foot, 185 pounds. I think it's a guy that, I mean, Auburn and Clemson were both all in on. They both really needed cornerbacks as well. And I mean, that we've talked about that position and what Georgia could potentially lose after this season. I think you had to have a guy like this. I mean, he can play anywhere in your secondary. I mean, if you need help at safety, he's got great closing speed. I think he's a pretty good tackler. He does play cornerback and safety for his team. And he's got good read and react ability right now. So, I mean, if you need help at nickel, you need help at safety, he can play there because he's just physical. He doesn't shy away from contact. And, you know, I think it's a big get for Georgia. And I think that, you know, it's just this year, evaluations have just been different. I mean, we really love the spring and summer camp and combines because we're able to kind of, you know, get measurements. We're able to kind of test some guys. And I think that this is a guy that, you know, could stand to have a higher rating maybe than what he has on all the networks overall. But one thing that just shows up is the fact that he's got great instincts. He's, you know, very smart in the field and he's very disruptive, I guess, at the catch point. And Kirby Smart puts a premium on ball skills. And I think that Kamari Lassiter has that in spades. And I think that's something that can get him on the field for Georgia, you know, in the next 2 years, just because that's the kind of just quality level of play that he looks for. And I mean, you look at what Georgia's done at like that star, that nickel position. I think that Kamari Lassiter can play there, but he could also, I mean, he could play outside at cornerback too. He just has, you know, just that all around playmaking ability. And the one thing we don't know is just verified, you know, testing numbers as far as his track and 40 or dash, things like that nature. But on film, I mean, he's just a outstanding football player and has the ability to do whatever is asked of him. And I just think that's something that Kirby Smart always places a premium on. So huge get for Georgia at a position of need, maybe the biggest position of need in this class.
Of course, it's story time for me. So I hadn't told either one of you this yet. We all knew that, you know, early last week, the kid was going to Georgia. Then we interviewed him and found out that he was a silent commit almost 3 weeks, committed the week before Auburn to the Georgia staff. Didn't tell anyone. Didn't tell him. I had no idea up until early last week that the kid was going to Georgia. So Wednesday, I go down to Tuscaloosa, go down in the afternoon and going to shoot some pictures with him. Do an interview with him and his mom and for us, because we didn't really have anything on the kid, nothing new. So head into Tuscaloosa, nothing, just in and out, a couple hour drive down from Northwest Georgia. Did have on a 24/7 polo on and get to Tuscaloosa and stop at a gas station probably 30 minutes before I'm going to meet Kamar and his mom and stepdad. And somebody goes, I walk in, get a Coke Zero. No, I'm not cheating on my diet. Give me a fountain drink. Give me a fountain Coke Zero. I turn around. Somebody goes, Rusty Mansell. I turn around. Pardon if I think it is one of our board members. Don't recognize him. How you doing, man? I said, good. How are you? He goes, what are you doing in Tuscaloosa? And it's like the light bulb went off. He goes, wait a minute. Are you down here filming a commitment video? And I froze because I really didn't know what to say. I said, no, I'm on my way to the JUCOs in Mississippi. Going to see a couple kids. So I apologize if you are a member and you're listening because you kind of caught me off guard and you hit it right on the spot. That was exactly what I was doing, was shooting some stuff for us with him. So that's my little story time with Kamar Lassiter. But I will say this, impressive young man. He is a 4.0 GPA, high academic young man. And I don't know, because of the rush of things and how things happen, if you got a chance, if you have not got a chance, go back and read Kip's story with his mom. And you read those quotes, what she says about Charlton Warren, and you read those quotes, what she says about Kirby Smart. I was standing in front of her when I interviewed her, and Kip wrote the story, because I called Kip. I said, Kip, I can't write this. You'll do it right. Please write this for me. So Kip handled it. But I'm looking at this lady, and when I ask her, you know, what gave her peace of mind to go let her son play for Kirby Smart, and she was very direct to me that when all this stuff was going on, and I assume it's the, you know, the Cade May stuff, maybe the Otis Reed stuff, whatever. She said, I want to know, Kirby, what's going on and why these people are leaving and what's going on. And she said that her and Kirby had a very long, very detailed, very direct conversation, basically. And she said when she got done, she felt like that. She told me, I think the quote was, he's not telling me what I want to hear. He's telling me what I need to hear. And I thought that was very, very telling. She felt like Kirby Smart was going to make her son into a man. And there was very little talk about football with her. And then, as I talk to them more, you're talking about a young man that has got his head on straight, and he is fully focused on finishing up his senior year. They got a good chance to win the state championship. And then he is clearly focused on playing football at Georgia and high academics. But you can go watch the huddle. And I asked him, I said, what are they recruiting you as most? And he said, corner and star, like Kip said. The kid's got enough size to play that. I just think it was a kid, an absolute no-brainer to me. Like when you meet him and those types of things, you need those in your locker room. You need that type of player because he's got high football IQ. He's a high-character young man, and he loves the game. You know, he decided a little bit later, but he wasn't all caught up in all the rah-rah of this recruiting process. He just took his time, did what he could. He wanted to take some visits, and he couldn't. Clemson came in too late. Clemson was a real threat. Now, I'll be honest with you. Clemson just came in too late. Auburn was a team that he took serious, and that's not – I mean, they probably I'm pretty sure they finished second. But Georgia, Charlton Warren did a really good job there. And Kirby Smart, I thought, was a very good – if you haven't had a chance to go on Dogs 247, you can go through Kip's stories and read it. It's a really good piece. And look, when I interviewed her, if I could have got her, captured her face, you would understand how serious she was if she started talking about this process and Kirby Smart.
You know, somebody asked me what I thought of Kamari Lassiter, and I thought about it for a little bit. I got a DM about it, and I waited probably about, 5-6 hours before I answered. And my response to them was, imagine if Mark Webb had been playing DB for the previous 4 years before he came to Georgia. Like, if he had been really focusing on it, and he was playing that position. And I think that's a really good comparison for him, because he does play wide receiver as well. He's a big, long kid. He's probably not going to go out there and run a high 4.3 or a low 4.4. He may be a 4.5 guy for all I know. And that's what I think makes him fit as a star slash nickel guy. I think he can play that, play the money position. I think he could probably play safety. And honestly, I think he could probably play some off man and maybe some bump and run coverage for you in corner, maybe some zone as well. But you know, I obviously not the kind of guy that I see right now. You know, if you're not, you know, an elite speed guy, it's kind of tough to just put you on an island out there. You're probably going to need a little bit of help and a little bit of chance to help yourself with that off man. But I mean, the way he breaks on the ball in front of him, I coached DBs for 2 years in high school, and he clicks steps, gets downhill quick. He makes plays on the ball. He seems to have a physicality to him that you really want a DB, and just reminds me a lot. And I think he probably bends a little bit better than Mark Webb does too. I think that's one of the reasons Webb didn't stick at corner, was because there's a little stiffness there. But ultimately, that's who he reminds me of as a defensive back, and maybe a little bit more upside, maybe a little bit more polish also coming in. It's not going to surprise me if we're looking at an NFL roster here in about 5 years and Mark Webb has had the light come on as a safety or as a big corner in a system, in a cornerback system type, you know, like a cover three Pete Carroll type deal, or Dan Quinn, if he resurfaces as a defensive coordinator or something like that, if Mark Webb ends up kind of in that role as well, because I think he has a lot of meat left on the bone in terms of his development. Rusty, you were also in the Athens area at the Prince Avenue Athens Academy game. Yeah. Kirby Smart was there. But legally,
Scott Cochran was there.
Legally. They were all there legally. What'd you see out of Brock Vandegrift?
Well, you walk up and you say, "Pretty Smart doing here." Then you see Dale McGee. Then you see Scott Cochran. Then you see Buster Faulkner, and then you realize, oh, wait a minute, all their kids are either going to school there or they're all ball boys for those schools. So I think Scott Cochran and Buster Faulkner's kids are at Prince, and Kirby's and Dale's. Dale's actually plays a freshman. So Kirby Smart's kid is a ball boy. But, you know, what an atmosphere for a single-A private school game, man. Crazy for that. I had that one penciled in all year. Nothing to nothing at half. And I'll tell you, Brock has a sprained ligament, I think, in his knee. His MRI checked out. So it's not anything torn. He is going to probably play with that the rest of the year, I think. But it's just a precautionary thing. And, you know, he's playing and can do what he needs to do. But he was a little off in the first half. He missed a couple throws. You know, give Athens Academy credit. You know, this is the fourth time they played twice his sophomore year. Regular season semifinals they played last year. It's the fourth time they faced him. In high school so far. So they did a good job with some things, but give Prince credit and Brock credit for the second half, because they just took things over, and Brock made some throws and made some plays where you realized that, hey, this guy is who we all think he is. You know, it's just – there's a lot on him. I spent a lot of time with his dad on Friday morning there at the school. And they're obviously the complete focus is on Prince Avenue to win the state championship. This is something that him and his dad and this group, large group of seniors for single A private school, they want to do together. And that was a big game for them Friday night. But he also – you know, he keeps one eye on what's going on in Georgia. And, you know, and Brock is working out and doing things for Prince, but he's also working out and getting his mind right, because he feels like he's got an opportunity to come to Georgia, and he's going to have an honest opportunity to be maybe the starting quarterback next year at Georgia. He's coming in January. He's the first kid ever graduate early from Prince. That is hard to do in private school, so they cleared him 2 years ago. He's been taking classes. One thing I tell you about Brock, I've covered Brock as a ninth grader. Brock's gotten taller. I mean, he is legit 6'3 now. He is every bit of 6'3, guarantee. And that's the tallest I've seen him So, you know, there was another inch left in him, and he's 6'3" now, probably no less 6'2.5" NFL combine, but, you know, he's carrying good weight, and man, he made some plays. And when he got hot, there was really nothing they could do. They had a punt return and a turnover. And then when he, I think he had 4 touchdown passes, I think, in the second half, and it was a wrap. But yeah, there was a lot of people, a lot of eyes there. I turned around and looked, and there, you know, Brookwood, I guess, was off. I turned around, and half of Brookwood's team was standing over there, and half of another team was standing over there. There was a lot of people there for a single A private. You know what's crazy, Jake? You live in that area up in northeast Georgia. You think about Oconee County, Cedar Shoals, Clark Central, all those schools. And you sit there and you look at those two teams. Jake, Athens Academy is pushing 81 players, and I think Prince is pushing 67. So you're close to 150 players on two schools, 10 minutes apart, in private school football. That's a lot of football players on those two teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had 61, and that was including a big old group of freshmen my first year at Cedar. We had a little bit more, a little bit better numbers the second year, but they love it. Those two programs do. They do a really good job, and they get a high, you know, ratio of male students to football players. They get a lot of those guys to come out. You know, you hear stories about some of these turnarounds that you've heard. I know Ware County had a turnaround back whenever I was in high school, and one of the things that the coach that took the job at the time, and I cannot remember his name for the life of me who it was at the time, but he brought every male student into the gym and said he wanted to see all of them come out. And then first practice, he had like 220 kids out there, and every one of them got to dress at some point. They either JV, freshman team, whatever, every one of them got to dress. I mean, sometimes, man, these programs, you get a little something going. These kids just want a sniff of it. They just want a crumb. They want to do something to be a part of the program. I know Camden County has had upwards of 200 kids dress out before. It's crazy, and it's one of the coolest things I think about high school football is you know, you have a small school and you have a ton of kids come out. It's just a really almost weird thing to see, because you know, you have much bigger schools that struggle to get 30, 40, 50 kids out. And it just doesn't happen.
Think about Athens Academy. Athens Academy, probably 9 through 12, probably maybe 400 kids, maybe. They're sitting there with 80 football players. That's impressive. Dale McGee's son's a freshman, Austin McGee. He played a little bit of corner and played kick returner. And there was a play, Deion Cole. I will say this now: Deion Colsey is banged up, and that's just, you know, again, it's part of it. I mean, Prince played Athens last year without Brock Vandergriff with a broke foot, and he came back and playoffs and played, but they had to play him without him, so it happens. But they would play Deion Colsey when Deion Colsey came in the game, the ball was going to him. He probably played 10 plays on offense, maybe 10, and they put him at corner when Prince were getting a red zone, they would bring him in, knowing that he didn't have to long stride. He could cover and use his length and those types of things. One particular play, he kind of got rolled up on the sidelines. They brought him out, and they brought Austin in. And listen, he is a freshman. He is, you know, he is what you think of freshman. He's probably 5'7", maybe 160 pounds, soaking wet right now. And Brock Vandergriff, he rides a mesh on a zone read, and he comes to his side on the goal line. And I'll tell you this, for everything Austin McGee had in him, he stuck his neck in there. Unfortunately, Brock's about 200 pounds, 18-and-a-half-year-old man, and he kind of bowled him over pretty good. But I'll say this for Austin, he stuck his neck up in there. I don't know if I would have. I know I wouldn't have as a freshman. I guarantee you I'd have Olayed that in a heartbeat. But it was a heck of a play for a young man to take the blunt of that force from Brock Vandergriff. But you know, there's gonna be some younger guys there on that team, and some really good players. And it won't shock me again if they're not playing. And I think I was told if they both went out, they would play in the semifinals again, like they did 2 years ago.
That'll be a fun one to watch. Let's get into some other guys. Kip, what's the latest on Smile?
Well, I mean, right now, Smile Munden is closing in on announcing his decision, and he has put it out there, you know, finally. I don't want to say finally, but we've been waiting just to kind of see what the next step was in his recruitment, and he's going public with a commitment on November 18th. So, I mean, we got a five-star linebacker, outstanding athlete. I know Rusty said on the last show, just talking about him, you know, suffering that tough injury, I believe with the MCL being out for the year, but a guy that's outstanding athlete, top three player consensus in the state of Georgia, and just a guy with a great frame, 6'3", 220 pounds out of Paulding County High School in Dallas, Georgia, that, I mean, it's been a battle in his recruitment throughout. And Georgia, at one point, I mean, he's been projected to, you know, leave the state multiple times. It's kind of been a back and forth. Lots of schools involved. I mean, Florida, Tennessee, obviously Auburn was a school that had a lot of momentum for him over the summer. But he just was not in a rush to make a decision and, you know, just continuing to evaluate his options. And I think that you look at the job that Glenn Schumann and Dale McGee have done just with him and his family and continuing to stay in communication. I like where Georgia kind of stands right now as we head into this, the final weeks before he goes public and announces his commitment. And it's a guy that we've talked about him a lot on the show, just a guy that has outstanding length, is a great athlete and a guy with a high ceiling at inside linebacker. And so if Georgia's able to land him, I mean, we talked about this recruiting class and where they're at right now with 17 commitments as we record this show on October 25th. You know, if they're able to land some guys like Smile Munden, again, announcing next month, cornerback Nylon Green at a Newton High School in Covington, Georgia, also expected to announce a decision sometime in the next month. So probably a November decision for him. And as I said in the last show, Tyrion Ingram Dawkins, the defensive lineman from Gaffney, he's been saying he's closing in on making a decision, going, you know, making a commitment for a while. We do not have a date for him, but if he's doing it close, you know, if he's doing it soon, I like where Georgia stands. And you get those three guys and all of a sudden you're sitting at 20 commitments and you've got the number three class in the country. So I do think that Georgia's in a stretch right now where they have a chance to really get some serious recruiting momentum with some big time targets. And I mean, you had a guy like, you know, Xavier Sorey out of IMG Academy, another outstanding linebacker prospect, an outstanding frame, just like, you know, Smile Munden. Yet, him, and now you're knocking on the door to 300 points. I think that puts him at maybe 295 and change, but you're closing in on another 300 point class in the 24/7 Sports class rankings, which is kind of that benchmark. You know, you have a truly special class when you kind of break that. And I think, you know, if they're able to do that, they'll have, you know, maybe one, two spots left in the class. And I think that they have an outstanding shot at breaking that 300 point, you know, mark with some big time targets they're still in on. And it just gives them a better opportunity to kind of really hone in on those last few targets if they're able to land these guys in the next month. And I think that Smile Munden's an outstanding talent and a guy that, I mean, you got to keep stacking that linebacker group because that's where your productivity in the front seven. I mean, you want those guys that's where your havoc kind of really comes from. And I think he's a guy that really has a chance to track the football down and make plays in opposing backfields. I think it's just his athleticism is through the roof.
And that would be one heck of a close for Georgia. I mean, that's just all there is to it. It's a close to the 2020 year. And then who knows who emerges after senior film. I mean, this is such an unprecedented year in terms of the evaluations that are going to have to be made on film. But for this show, guys, that's all we've got for you. Georgia, Kentucky, noon Eastern time on Saturday. Halloween normally Georgia Florida weekend, that's pushed back a week, and then the cocktail party is next weekend, November 7th. Can't wait for that. Big stretch coming up, and we'll have it all covered for you at Dogs 24/7. I'm Jake Rowe with Dogs 24/7. They're Kip Adams from Rusty Mansell from the same place, and you all take it easy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.